Jeff, would you come and ask the blessing over our offering this morning? You can be seated. These baskets will be coming around in just a moment. Be sure to pray for our missionaries, Jeff. You've been praying for our missionaries this month as we take up the Lottie Moon offering. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the day you've given us to come worship. And Lord, we just come to adore your Son. And Father, we pray for our offering as we give. That Lord, it will be used, Lord, to, Lord, just spread the gospel, not only in Perry, but around the world. And Lord, we pray for our missionaries, and Lord, all over the world, especially this week, Lord, we pray for our international missionaries. God, you know their needs away from their home during this time of year. Just pray, God, you bless them and use them. And God, we just thank you for all that you're doing, Lord, in our church, in our lives. And God, we just thank you, Lord, that we know that you're in control. And Lord, situations going on in people's lives even this morning, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we move and be a part of that. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I'll just shove this one over this way. You guys just pass it around, hand it back. As the baskets come around, grab your Bible and turn to John 1. John chapter 1. Gospel of John in the New Testament, chapter 1. I'll be starting today just using this passage here, the beginning of John's Gospel, verses 1 to 13, as a springboard, a launch pad, to look at several passages. John the Apostle tells us in the opening to his Gospel, same guy that wrote the book of Revelation, he wrote this before that. He says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Lord, we thank you for these words and the many other words of Scripture that we're going to look at and consider today. We thank you that light has come into this world. And that light is not a mere abstraction or a created thing. That light, the true light of this world, is you coming in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the light that has illuminated our lives, our consciences to the reality of our sin and of our deep need for a Savior. Thank you for that. Lord, may we hear your word today, and may we be emboldened as your messengers to take it to the nations. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our theme today, this last Sunday of Advent 2018, is light. It's light. Light has come. Amen? Amen. Light has come. Indeed, light has come. Often we appreciate things without fully appreciating the things which make those things possible. perceptible, the things that make those things tangible and visible and enjoyable to our senses. When you think about the good things of life in this world, and there are some pretty great things about life in this world, aren't there? For how many of you does light top the list? For how many of you would say, yeah, light's right up there, number one, two, top five, light. It's not something that I would typically think about as the best thing in my life. But light makes all the other good things in my life possible. Makes those things accessible. We tend to take light for granted. Man, the world's full of good things, wonderful things. But we'd have no way of enjoying any of those things without light. Right? And I'm talking about light, daylight, light bulbs, light, okay, in that sense. You say, but what about blind people? I mean, they can't see. They can't see light. They can't see. Some blind folks can perceive light. They just can't define objects. It's that kind of a blindness. But yet blind people, you say, that they can enjoy things in this world. And I would say, yeah, they can enjoy things. But no more than any of the rest of us would blind people be able to enjoy the things of this life without the presence and the reality of light. We need light to live. Without it, we don't have life. Even those pale little fish, I don't know what they're called, cave fish, I guess, that live down in caves and never see the light of day. Live down at the bottom of the ocean, never see the sunlight. They're so deep in the ocean. Even those little fish, even though they never see light, they can't survive without light, without the fact that light is hitting the earth and warming its surface to a survivable temperature. Light is essential. And we nor anything else could survive without it. We've got to have it. So today I want to visit some passages of Scripture that point us to the light. Now I don't mean ultimately any created form of light. I don't mean sun or moon or stars, and I don't mean any man-made form of light, LED flashlights, LED Christmas lights, camera flashes, candles. Not talking about any of that. Of course, talking about the light of the world. I'm talking about John's gospel kind of light. Jesus, Son of God, Jesus. Today's big idea is this. It's that God intends created forms of light to remind us and to point us to His infinitely greater and more glorious light. And that He wants our lives to do the same. He wants our lives to point one another and others to the true light, to Jesus. Okay? Our lives need to emit, need to give off a light that serves as a guide and a pointer to the light, to Jesus. That's the big idea today. Genesis chapter 1 describes the primordial state of things in the created order. It says, in the beginning, finish it, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the first thing that we learn about the earth after we learn about the fact that God created it is this. It's that the earth was formless. It was void. It was dark. Thank you. Darkness covered the face of the deep. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Did you catch that? So the very first thing among all the things that God calls good while He's creating everything is light. It's the first good. Not even the earth. When it says that God created the heavens and the earth, He doesn't call it good yet. He doesn't call it good till light comes into the picture. And then we learn that God separates the light. He separates the light from the darkness, and He calls the light day, calls the darkness night. So the first created thing that God gives a name to is the thing that light makes possible, day, daytime. That's the first named thing in creation. So as a boy, and I guess as an adult too, I always associated Christmas with nighttime. Always did. Now, don't get me wrong. I look forward to Christmas morning and getting up and opening presents with my sister and my parents, and then going Christmas morning and to my mom's side of the family. We would always spend Christmas Day with them, and Christmas afternoon, and Christmas evening. But the peak of my boyhood excitement about Christmas came on Christmas Eve, and we were leaving the Avery grandparents. I already had a pretty good haul of toys in the trunk, and I'd be looking out the car window, you know, scrubbing the fog off the window as we drive home, looking for Christmas lights. And my favorite color of Christmas lights, the blue ones. Anybody else like the blue ones? Yeah, see? Blue lights rule. That's what I would, I love that. That's where my excitement about Christmas was at its apex. Christmas Eve night, dark, but punctuated darkness with light. And to this day, I'm amazed, as I'm sure you are, at how the same old boring houses that we look at during the daytime for 11 months out of the year are at nighttime for that 1 month out of the year transformed into these wondrous spectacles of light and color. And then in January, they get boring again, unless they're rednecks, and then they stay exciting till April or May or sometime. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. No, it's not the darkness. It's not the darkness of night at Christmas time that amazes me. It's that penetrating, punctuating presence of light within that darkness that amazes me. There's just something awe-inspiring about light in the context of darkness that's lost in the presence of daytime, daylight, other light. Okay, it's drowned out. Think about Chicago or New York or even Cleveland, right? It's one thing you can look at those brown and gray city skylines during daylight and that's pretty cool. That's kind of underwhelming. But at nighttime, man, on a backdrop of black, that cityscape takes on a whole new energy and life and coolness. I guess that at nighttime at Christmas, it gives me that excitement because I know the biblical story, as do you. Jesus was born during the night. That's when all the stuff surrounding his birth happened. Was it night? He was born in Bethlehem in a stable at night, announced by angels to lowly shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And eventually he was attended by wise men, guided to Bethlehem by a star which would have shown up in the sky most brilliantly at night. Okay, there's no way to know for sure. Okay, Christians have argued for all throughout church history about when exactly was Jesus born. One important thing to keep in mind is Jesus didn't seem to think it was all that important. He never said, "Celebrate my birthday." Never did. He didn't worry about that. There's no way to know when for sure he was born, but it's highly likely and plausible that he was born sometime near the winter solstice, which we just experienced a couple days ago. Okay, that's the shortest daylight day of the year, this time of year when daylight is at its shortest and night dark hours during the night are at their longest. Right? With light, you see, the first good feature of God's creative acts being spoken into a cosmos of total, utter darkness, how fitting is it? How appropriate is it that the arrival of God's Son, the foremost feature, not of His creative acts, but of His redeeming acts, be spoken into a world of utter spiritual darkness? Right? Called, as we already read in John's description, he is called the light of men, shining in the darkness without being overcome by the darkness. This is Jesus. This is God's Son. Scripture describes God's very being and character in terms of light. Paul says, here are some of those scriptures. In 1 Timothy 6, he describes God as dwelling in unapproachable light. And by the way, I'm going to give you a few, but these are just a very, very small number of Bible passages we can look at that describe God's character in terms of light. We already read Psalm 27, where David says, the Lord is my what? My light. He's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? James says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He is perfect light. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, we read this, there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. Talking about Israel, talking about the people of God. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, He, God, brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. But in the latter time, He has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. This is Old Testament, remember? Many centuries before Jesus was born, talking about the land where Jesus would live and would begin His ministry. Galilee. Matthew quotes Isaiah in describing the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, Matthew 4, when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. He went there to fulfill what was spoken through, guess who? Isaiah, the prophet. Land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. We could go on. We could go on and on and on with the scriptures like these about God's light-giving nature and light-giving character. He is light. He's not a God of light. He is light. If God grants us eyes to see, we're not going to be able to miss how the interplay of physical light and physical darkness in our day-to-day lives parallels and points to the overcoming power of gospel light, the gospel light of Jesus over the spiritual darkness of sin. Okay? I mean, we get irritated when we reach for the closet light switch, usually with the other arm full of something. I don't know, maybe Christmas presents this time of year, and walk in and the light doesn't come on. And the bulb is burnt out. Imagine, that's frustrating enough. Now imagine being in a cave, and click, you forgot to bring extra batteries for your headlamp, and it goes out, and you're in a cave, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet below Earth's surface. There aren't many things that just kind of put me into cold sweat. Being trapped underground is one of them. Being trapped in a place of total darkness. Listen, that's the kind of spiritual darkness that people around us live in every day. And they don't know it. I mean, we used to live in that horrible state. But it wasn't horrifying to us, and it isn't horrifying to people out there today. Why? Because we still had, when we were living there, we still had our physical eyes. All right? And we could see things and we could get through life kind of day by day, groping around, and we could get through life. And so can folks out there today, using their physical senses. But listen, we might have got along fine physically, but we were walking dead men and women in our sin. We were walking dead men and women in the deeper nature of our being. If God grants us eyes to see, do you ever wonder why the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 makes the point that faith comes by what? Hearing? Instead of by seeing? We can't see sin and its deadly reality in ourselves, or the cave that our sin has locked us into. We can't see it. Don't recognize it as such. And therefore, we're not going to see with our physical eyes our need for a Savior. When you're blind, your ears take on a whole new importance. That's even more true in the spiritual realm than in the physical realm. I believe Paul is sending a very clear signal in Romans 10 about the blinding reality of sin. If you want spiritual eyes with which to see the surpassing beauty and brightness and brilliance of Jesus, you first must have ears to hear the good news that He's brought life and light into the world. Hello? Matthew, if you're in a cave, buddy, there is going to be no more welcome thing than to hear through those cave walls, hello? You may not be able to see a thing, but your ears, they're going to take on all new significance. And you're going to turn in the direction from which you hear that sound coming, hello? Until by hearing the gospel, we put faith in the saving power and in the saving person of Jesus, we may walk around this world with perfect 20/20 vision. Okay? But we're going to be as blind as bats to our deeper need, our deepest need. But once our ears hear, once our hearts believe, once our spiritual eyes are then opened, we are saved, but we're not off the hook. Once we've seen the light of Jesus by faith, by putting our trust in Him, we become lights for Jesus. Nobody's saved just to be saved. Those shepherds didn't get to see baby Jesus just to say, oh, what a cute baby. That's nice. God bless you, Mom and Pop. Good job. See you later. No. You got to go back to the... No, they went telling and spreading and sharing. They'd heard what the angels said. They went and saw. Their eyes were opened and they spread the news. Once we've seen the light of Jesus by faith, we become lights for Jesus. We are sent then on a rescue mission of others who are still in the cave of this world. We are sent to give light through our lips. We call out, hello! We call out for people to trust God, and we trust God to help them hear. That they're light. There's light. And if God doesn't help them hear that, God's not going to give them eyes to see it. But that's God's job. Our job is to call out in darkness and offer the light as we carry the light of the gospel. And when God opens their eyes, that may they see in us. The hope that we should have as Christians is that those people who are in darkness would then see in us the very light and the very life of Jesus that they heard about through the gospel. that we shared. Hello, there's light. There's light. There's light coming. Matthew quotes Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You'll be familiar with this passage. You are the what? Light of the world, right? A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. But they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen. Isaiah and all the other prophets before and after him, right down to John the Baptist himself, had that function. They had that function and that calling to go and call out to people in spiritual darkness. Light is coming. Light is coming. When we hear that call in the pages of the Old Testament, don't we? Over and over again, story after story after story in the lives of the people in the Old Testament. Light is coming, Israel. Light is coming. Hope is dawning. We hear that call in the Old Testament like echoes off of a cave wall. And in the New Testament, the lamp with a capital L cuts through the gloom. And here is Jesus. He has come. Light has come. You and I, Christians, we've got the function that is not entirely unlike Isaiah's and John the Baptist's. We're to go out and to announce light to people living in spiritual darkness. God's Son came into the world, into the pit of night, and in the dead of winter, into the deep darkness of human depravity and sin. He remained in obscurity most of his life. You ever think about that? That Jesus was virtually unknown for almost three decades. Sorry, my microphone's wobbling off my face today. He was unknown. Nobody really knew. There were a few people who probably remembered that there were some odd circumstances surrounding his birth. But other than that, he didn't do a whole lot publicly until he was 30. And what was his message when he did come on the scene? Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your mind, people. Open your eyes and see that light and salvation has come. That's our message. That's our message to this dark world today. Jesus is coming again. Jesus has come, and He is coming again. For those who repent, darkness is coming to an end. The Bible opens in Genesis 1 with God making light, and he called it good, right? God makes light, calls it good, names it day. You know that line from O Come, Emmanuel? O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. What? Do what? Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. We'll come to thee, O Israel. Listen, Emmanuel has come. He's come to us, the Israel of God. He has ransomed us from our captivity in the darkness of sin and death. As the ransomed Israel of God, we go now as His agents trumpeting that good news, ambassadors of light. In Genesis 1, God separates the day from the night. In Revelation 22, opposite end of the Bible, catch this, God is going to put an end to night altogether. Night is going away for all of His ransomed ones. John says in Revelation 22, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Jesus came into the world on a rescue mission. All right, he may have looked helpless, lying there in that stinky stable, in that stinky manger. But it was us that were the helpless ones. He came to help. He's come to help you and I. He's come to help our loved ones, our neighbors. Like John the Baptist, we are not the light, but we bear witness to the true light which is coming to the world. We do so with our lips, and we do so with our lives. Now my question is for anyone who might be here who's yet to receive that light, who's yet to have his or her spiritual eyes opened. Would you like to receive that light today? Well, the question then goes back to, what have you heard? Have your ears been opened first? Because remember, Paul said, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is this: God loves you and sent His only begotten Son to be your Savior, your only Savior, your only hope. And apart from Him, there's no life, there's no light, there's only darkness and deadness. And to receive that light takes something called faith. It takes a step of believing and trusting. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When we believe the Word that we've heard, our eyes will be opened to see Jesus and to savor Him as our Lord. Let your ears lead the way. As you've heard the gospel, He came, He lived, He died to forgive you, and He rose again. And He's coming again. This is our hope at Christmas and all year long, is that that baby that was born in the manger didn't remain a baby. He didn't remain a teenager. He grew. He became the Savior of the world through His work on the cross. There was never a time when He wasn't the world's Savior. Don't hear me wrong on that. God didn't look at Jesus' life, well, He's pretty good, I guess He'll do. Jesus was always God's Savior. He's always been God's Son. And so He's always been God's Savior. He just put Him into human experience a couple thousand years ago. And now we get to look back in faith on His time on the earth, and we look forward in faith to His return, and to our reign with Him forever in heaven. I hope you have that hope, and you can have that hope. Let's bow our heads, and I'm going to pray. And if you have yet to invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life, to say to Him, I believe you, I receive you, here's what I'd like you to do. Just pray with me. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I can't save myself. I've heard the gospel today that your Son Jesus died to forgive my sins, and I want that forgiveness, and I receive that forgiveness, and I want my eyes to be opened to see the spiritual truth of my constant need for a Savior and His constant love for me. And I accept it by faith, and I want to grow to be His disciple every day going forward. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If that's a prayer that you in your heart of hearts prayed and meant, then your eyes have been opened. Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and now the next step is to make that decision known so that you can begin to grow in your walk with Christ, grow in your maturity as a disciple of Jesus. And this church is the ideal context for you to do that in. All right, look around you. You don't see any perfect people here, you'll fit right in. Okay? Let's grow together. I'm so excited to see what 2019 holds for our church. And I'd like you to stand now.